of us are aware that we live in a pretty fast-moving age, right? It seems like everywhere we go, people want to do things faster and faster and faster. They want to move faster and faster. They want to go faster and faster. And speed seems to be the god of this world. Do it fast. Don't take time or spend time in doing anything. It seems to be an all-important ingredient in our lives today. As a world, we have, in our lifetimes, moved through several different time elements, right? Time settings of that deal with moving and how fast we do things. Obviously, most of us didn't live back before the horse and buggy era, but some of us come close to that. Okay. A lot of years ago. Okay. But just think about in the last number of years that we have gone from the time of where you walked from one place to the other to where you had a horse-drawn carriage that would take you from one place to the other to the early automobiles that would get you there a little bit faster. And then we moved up to, boy, the speedy train that you could cross this country in a few days rather than a few months. Then we even got very fast when we went into the aero age, right? And the airplane was developed. But we weren't satisfied with just any airplane. We went into the jet age to where you would cross this country in a few hours. And then we went to the supersonic jet time, to where it even cut that down a lot. And now we even have the space age. So we live in a technological world that has an appetite for speed. I mean, if you don't load your internet on your computer in 3 seconds, and if it takes 5, you get all upset about it, right? Yeah, I mean, it took 2 extra seconds. I can't wait for it to get up there, right? Isn't it amazing how 2 seconds can seem like an eternity because it takes, you think, forever for that computer to respond? Crazy, the kind of world we live in. So is it any wonder, however, that that kind of a world and that kind of an age that we are living in, that we don't think about long-suffering very much, right? Or patience, or how that affects our lives and affects our thinking. So as we have seen the increase in the desire to get things done in a hurry, in travel and in technology, as we have seen a speed-up in the speed of the, you know, the burning fuse of our emotions, especially in anger, that at the same time we see how we don't like to take the time to think things through. So all of us have been affected, one way or the other, by this trend in our lives. I think we'd all have to admit, as technology has increased, as times have changed, that it has affected our mental state, right? Our willingness to be tolerant, our willingness to be patient, our willingness to give people an opportunity to change, to do things, that we are impatient even with ourselves. So the question we need to ask ourselves as we talk about this fruit of God's Spirit of long-suffering, it's just how patient and long-suffering are we? I think all of us have to admit that sometimes we may be pretty short-fused. You know where that term short-fused comes from is if you're setting dynamite and you're setting off explosives and you put a short fuse on it, guess what? You better get out of there fast, right? Because it's going to explode quickly. Having worked with a certain amount of dynamite you would like to have a longer fuse to allow yourself to get away and to hide behind the rocks or go somewhere that is not going to explode where you are. Well, some of us have longer fuses than what others do, right? And some of us have very short ones, okay, in our relationships with people. And today we're going to talk and look at a lot of the scriptures and the things that God has to say. And he uses the term long-suffering quite often in the Bible about our specific attitude toward people. So you probably heard the expression that, quote, patience is a virtue, right? For somebody else. But honestly, judging from our society today, can we really probably hear more often such expressions as, quote, I'm running out of patience, right? Or I have no patience for the likes of you. And so we talk about those kind of expressions and things in our lives, huh? Husbands and wives, children, whatever. So obviously it's rare that we hear the word, the synonym that God uses for patience in the Bible, and that is long-suffering in the King James Version of the Bible. In Galatians 5 and verse 22, he talks about one of the fruit of God's Spirit is that of being long-suffering. What does that mean? I'm sure many of us have seen, what is it, that spring flower that grows up called impatience? You know where it got its name? And why they would be given that kind of an unusual name? Well, it was named that because of a quality and a characteristic that the impatience has, and that is that when their seed pods become mature, and if they get touched, they explode, sending all of the seeds yards away. All of a sudden, they just burst. So people thought that was kind of like impatience, right? Or impatient people. And so they named it that name of being impatience. Spelled slightly different than we do, but it means the same thing. Perhaps that's a good example of our day and age of how explosive we are when anybody touches you wrongly or behaves in a way that you don't like, that we can be impatient, like the impatience of the flower. Back in the book of Colossians, God gives us some pretty specific instructions about the way of life that you and I have been called to, of what it ought to incorporate into our lives. I'd like to just go through this few verses. We're in Colossians 1 and beginning in verse 9 and think about some of the things that he is saying in here. He says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will. So what God says, it's the first thing that he would like us to have as our Christian life is that we be filled with the knowledge of his will. The second thing he says is that we ought to be filled with all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And then going on in verse 10, he gives us other directions in verse 4, or the fourth one here, he says, as we're going on, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. That we walk, we move, by the way, he doesn't say that we take a jet plane. We walk with God, and it's a little bit more slow in our way we develop than by using internets and things like that that only take a second. We walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. The fifth thing he says, that we are fruitful in every good work. that we are fruitful. And then going on, that we are increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthening with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and long suffering. Now those two words are synonyms, but they do not mean exactly the same thing. And we'll talk about that in a little while. But that we ought to be long-suffering and patient in a joyful way. Verse 12, then he says, giving thanks to the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness. Amazing if you stop and think about all these things. I wrote down 18 different things that God here in Colossians 1 tells us through Paul that we ought to be doing in our lives. Two of them are being patient and being long-suffering. So he says, verse 13, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through the blood, even the forgiveness of sins. So here we are talking about long-suffering, which is a self-restraint that is not being hasty in retaliation against anything that is wrong. It is the opposite to wrath. It is the opposite of revenge. Over in James chapter 1, over a few pages in the book of James chapter 1, as we look at what God says, his instructions in us, in connection with that emotion and our dealing with our emotions, in James 1 and verse 19, where he says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear. And you might say, well, let's get on our jet plane and listen. But let's walk in how we respond and in patience, slow to speak and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man works not the righteousness of God. Wrath is not a good conduit to fulfilling the laws of God or the love of God toward other human beings. Let's go back to the book of Colossians for a moment again in chapter 3. In chapter 3 of Colossians and verse 12, where he says, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long suffering. Yeah, I read somewhere a little quip that somebody was saying that patience is what you have to the driver behind you, not to the one in front of you. Okay. Which is pretty true sometimes, although I'm not even sure we have patience to the one behind us sometimes, right? But we don't really have that much patience in what we do. We are to be long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. It's an essential that we have that characteristic of God. We need to ask ourselves on a daily basis, am I long-suffering and patient, or am I a short-fused individual? I'll get to the definition of this in a minute, but in Ephesians, back a couple of pages, in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 2, here again he says, with all lowliness and meekness. Now it's interesting that he puts these in tandem, because your attitude toward who you are and yourself has a lot to do with, and it has a lot to do with what I do in response to other people. So Paul says that it is with lowliness and meekness and with long suffering we are able to forbear one another in love. If we do not have that kind of an attitude of lowliness of mind, we're probably not going to be willing to be long-suffering and forbearing to other people. So a question, just what is long-suffering? Just what does it mean to be patient? I want to read a little bit of what it means. He says the words for long-suffering actually come from the words erek apayim, that's erekhapayim, which are translated long-suffering in the Bible. Literally, what erek apayim means is long-nosed. That's the literal definition of the two words, long-nosed. And the reason they use the term is because that if you get angry, you tend to have rapid, violent breathing through the nose, and therefore the response is in a certain way, because that's the way we are, because of the pent-up emotions. And so what this term means is that being long-suffering is that it calms you down if you breathe more slowly, right? Take the breath through a longer nose, and that's what definitely it's saying. I don't guess we all want to become Pinocchios, but be longer-nosed in how we respond to other people and other things. Because breathing, and as anger was indicated by rapid, violent breathing through the nostrils, long of anger or slow to wrath, was the way they applied this whole thing to what was going on. So that's what the definition for that was. Now, in the New Testament, the word for long-suffering is macrothumia. That's macrothumia, macrothumia. And now, I think most of us know that the word macro means long, right? Or big, or in that sense. So it means that to be long-suffering was macrothumia, which is rendered of the same word as we read in the Old Testament, which means long of mind or soul. And it had to regard to the seat of your emotions, opposed to being shortness of mind or soul, or an irascible individual, or an impatient intolerant. So the word that God wants us to have is being macrothumia, patient, not short-tempered. Not, in fact, one definition is being long-tempered. You know, we talk about short-tempered people. What God says about being long-suffering is that you are a long-tempered person. Totally in a contrast to what a short-tempered person is. Now, there is another word in the New Testament for patience, and that is hupomone. That's H-U-P-O-M-O-N-E in the Greek, which means patient. The two are not the same. According to the trench synonyms in the New Testament, the difference between hupomone, patient, and macrothumia is that the latter word expresses patience in respect to persons. That is, macrothumia has to do with your relationship with people. Patience, on the other hand, hupomone, has to do with your relationship to things. Which is interesting, because hupomone will never be referred to God. God is never referred to in the sense of having hupomone or patience toward things. He only deals with macrothumia, which is a patient, long-suffering relationship to people. Now, but in our relationship, the Bible uses both terms, macrothumio or thumia and hupothumone, for being patient as an individual. And so we have these two definitions of what is going on in our lives and what we ought to be doing. I want to read again another definition about that. He says, it has been said that long suffering means suffering long. And that is a good answer. But even a better definition is needed. The word long-suffering in the Bible is made up of the two Greek words meaning long and temper. Literally, long-tempered. To be long-suffering, then, is to have self-restraint when one is stirred to anger. We don't have a lot of self-restraint of people today, do we? You watch the television, you watch how people respond. Even in our day of, since the time of the elections and so on, I think we have to admit that there are a lot of short-fused individuals in the world, aren't there, who can't stand to having anybody disagree with them or think other than what they think. That happens all in our lives, that those kind of things happen. So to be long-suffering, then, is to have self-restraint when one is stirred to anger. A long-suffering person does not immediately retaliate or punish. Rather, he has a long fuse, and he patiently forbears. Long-suffering is associated with mercy. It does not surrender to the circumstances or succumb to the trial. We are long-suffering. It's a quality that does not come by human nature. God does not say that we can be long-suffering humanly. It is a fruit of the Spirit of God. The question we need to all ask ourselves is, since I have received the Spirit of God based upon our baptism and our laying on of hands, and the receiving of God's Spirit, has there been a change since receiving God's Spirit in my length of fuse in my life? Or am I still as short-fused as I was before? Or am I still as short-tempered as I was before? Am I more forbearing of other people's problems and situations than I was before I received God's Spirit? Am I more forbearing now in my life and in what I have to do? What about you young children, young people? How forbearing are you toward your brother or sister? How quickly do we get angry at something that didn't go the way I wanted it? How quickly am I to yell back at something that happens? All of us have to realize that it is a process of maturing. I would like to just take the time in for a moment to ask our young children and our young people to ask, how long-nosed are they? All right? Just how long is their temper span from an act to a response? How short is it? And how eruptive is it? And perhaps ask parents to ask how they are working with helping their children to develop what will stand them in good stead for the rest of their lives. And that is to learn how to handle difficult situations. Probably one of the most crucial elements of child rearing is that we learn how to help our children develop. Being long-nosed or long-tempered and not subject to erratic behavior. Many psychologists will say it is the basic quality that will differentiate between a mature and an immature individual. It's that quality of being long-nosed, long-tempered, or short-tempered, short-fused. Immature people tend to be explosive. And that's true also spiritually. Spiritually immature people, we tend to be explosive. Spiritually mature individuals will tend to be much more long-suffering and patient. And so again, we're not dealing with forgetting that it is God's Spirit that produces these things in our lives, of how we deal with it. But as children, they need to be cognizant of the need to be willing to take even frustration with an evenness and an even temperament. Okay. The third point I would like to make is that why then does God want us to demonstrate long-suffering? Why does he want us to be the way he is? Long-suffering in what we do and how we do it, how we respond. How do we demonstrate then that quality? Well, first of all, because God wants you and me to be like him. And he is long-suffering. It says very clearly that he is patient and has extreme mercy. So God wants us to be like him. He cares for all of humanity, and he does it with tremendous compassion, mercy, and long-suffering. Now, I would grant you, if you read sometimes in the Old Testament history of Israel, you might think that he was pretty explosive sometimes, right? But the Bible says he was very long-suffering and patient with human beings of how he responded. I would guarantee you he probably didn't respond nearly as quickly as what some of us would have, or even as Moses did. He is patient toward us, long-suffering. And God's people, as God's people, you and I are in training to become kings and priests in how we are going to deal with human beings. Human beings. And how we will be involved in helping them learn to be forgiving to others. I think I've mentioned before, you know where the word forgive comes from? It comes from two words. For, F-O-R, and give. So what it's technically is saying that to forgive means that you could give as you did before, right? In other words, you liked somebody before they offended you, and you were very willing to give them and be a servant to them. What God is saying, if you forgive that individual, then you will be able to give as you would have before that person sinned against you. With the attitude of where you will not hold it against them. That's really what the word forgive means. I think if we think about that, that's not that easy to do, right? It's easy for us to say, I forgive. But we don't really recognize what that truly means. Forgive is more than just words. It's more than just words. God says in Psalm 130 and verse 7, he says, O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is abundant redemption. So God sets the example for mercy and for redemption. God patiently waits for us as humans to repent and to stop destroying ourselves. God desires that we turn to Him. And when we do, He even promises to help us. Now, that can be a pretty slow process. The questions I ask myself, and I think we all need to ask ourselves, is do we sometimes get impatient with the process that God is doing in our lives? Or are we content with the speed in which God is doing things? Are we willing to let God bring us to a certain state by our submission to it and allowing the process to go on? So it can be a slow, it can be a very frustrating process sometimes. How do we deal with it? The process to go from selfish human nature, the old man, to what God wants us to be is this new man. And He wants us to become like Him and to show the patience that He has toward others. It's a very long process. A good example of what not to do is back in the book of Matthew, chapter 18. Now, I could give a long, long sermon about long-suffering and patience. There are dozens and dozens of scriptures that we ought to think about. Human beings do not have it by nature. I remember reading way back in the 1960s, any of you remember when Donald Campbell was going to set the land speed record on the Utah salt flats? And he was killed while in the process of trying to set this land speed record. And we were in Australia at the time, and one of the articles in the paper was saying that he had prepared all of this, his machinery and his car, and he had done all of these things in order to have this trial run or this attempt at setting this land speed record. And everything had gone well until the day that he was supposed to do it. And then the wind came up, and there was some dicey weather conditions. And everybody around him tried to talk him out of attempting to set this record. But he refused to listen. He refused to listen even to his advisors. And he thought, well, it's not bad enough. I'm going to go ahead and attempt it. Well, unfortunately, in his attempt, the weather was not conducive to doing, you know, hundreds of miles an hour. And the wind burst, it came up and gust, and it wound up with a crash that took his life. But this article in on the one of the papers in Australia says, sure impatience killed Donald Campbell. He was so impatient to set this land speed record that he would not allow good judgment to take control. Well, sometimes I think all of us can do the similar things. We don't, in good judgment, sometimes make that commitment. Over in Matthew chapter 18, and picking it up in verse 21, he says, and then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? I think Peter probably was thinking, man, I'm going to really go way out and use seven times. And Jesus said back to him, I do not say unto you seven times, but until 70 times seven. That's how many times you have to be willing to forgive your brother for an offense. And therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened to a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. According to my Bible, it says that is $52.8 million. For as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, and payment be made. And so the servant therefore came and fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will repay you all. And then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and he loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant, after he had been forgiven, $52.8 million debt, that same servant which owed him found a fellow servant that owed him 100 pence. My margin says $44. And he laid hands on him and he took him by the throat, saying, pay me, right? You give me everything you owe me. Now, obviously, Christ is using this as an analogy that fits all of us. How much has Christ forgiven us? $52.8 million and stuff? Probably more. Are we willing to forgive $44 on somebody else toward us? Long-suffering, patient. So it says in verse 28, but the same servant went, and he found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him, took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe. And his fellow servant, he fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not, but he went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and they came and told unto their Lord all that was done. And then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you desired me to do so. Should not you also have had compassion on your fellow servant, even as I had pity on you? That's referring to all of us, toward each other. I would say you will never match what God has given up or been willing to forgive you of, or me. I can forgive for the rest of my life human beings, and I will never reach the limit that what Christ did for me. So he says, and his Lord was wroth and delivered him into the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you if you from your heart, talking about forgiving, because it's a matter from the heart. If you from your heart do not forgive everyone his brother their trespasses. So God is long suffering. It says back in the book of Peter that he is long suffering and not slack concerning his suffering for us. He's very patient in waiting for us, helping us, because it takes long suffering for us to be willing to and capable of allowing God's change take place in our lives. So the long suffering of God, we will never meet that, but that should be our goal, is to allow God's change to taking place in our hearts and minds. That will give us macrothumia, long temper, long-nosed reactions, the ability to go on from there. The long-suffering is God's character in dealing with mankind. He does not get all pent up and angry and lack the patience to go along with it. So how then do we increase our patience? How do we develop, maintain our long suffering? I'll just give you a couple or three points. Number one, you give. You give yourself fully to Christ, as it says in Colossians 3. You put away that wrath as a way of life, anger and intimidations. You are then to become preeminently committed to living for what Christ wants us to be. Number two, you increase your love for others. You increase your love for others. The quality of love will increase your love and your long-suffering. We need to eliminate our self-vindication, our self-justification, and we replace it with the ability to suffer long. That's the opposite. And number three, we see the wisdom and the power of long-suffering. You go back and read Proverbs 14 and verse 29, or Proverbs 16, verse 32. I just want to turn over to Proverbs 14, Proverbs the 14th chapter, and verse 17, where he says, "He that is soon angry deals foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated." We cannot be that kind of a person. Over in Proverbs 15 and verse 18, then he says, "A wrathful man stirs up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeases strife." Slow to anger. If you don't have an anger problem, that's good. I'm glad to meet you. Okay. Because I don't think there are too many around, okay, that do not in one way or the other. So long-suffering then is the evidence of your humility. It's the evidence of my humility. Because temper, on the other hand, being short-fused and short-nosed, is being prideful. It is being full of arrogance and prideful. So how do we do it? By allowing God to create in us his nature by his Spirit. So in conclusion then, just make a couple of comments about long-suffering of God. Long-suffering of God waits today, as it did in the days of Noah, to call sinners to repentance and salvation. You can read that in 1 Peter 3:20, 2 Peter 3:9. God is long-suffering, but there will come a time when there comes an end to his patience. Be long-suffering. And God says he is long-suffering toward us. But God will not wait forever. We must have God's Spirit creating in us his nature, his character. We must live as that new being, that new person, that true new disciple, giving ourselves fully to Christ, increasing our love, while seeing the wisdom and power and the spiritual profit of being long-suffering. And finally, over in James chapter 5, God gives us an example of what kind of people we ought to be. In James, the 5th chapter. Where he's talking about husbandmen and the willingness to allow patience. And he says in verse 17, "Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." And Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. That we have to be allowing God to build the character in us. Be like that patient farmer who waits. You ever notice how long it takes, for example, a tomato? If you have tomatoes in the yard, you know how long it seems to take for that first tomato to get ripe? Seems to take forever. Of course, looking at it every day doesn't help it, you know. But afterwards, they come more rapidly. But that first one seems to take a long time. Well, a farmer has to wait patiently for things to develop. And we can't be impatient. We have to be willing to let God do the work. So he says in verse 8, be you also patient and establish your hearts, because you're looking for the coming of Christ. You are drawing nigh. That time is drawing nigh. We don't have forever to be able to become the kind of a person God wants us to be, a long-suffering, a long-nosed, a long-tempered, a long-fused individual who rely upon God and his mercy and his love.